And gentlemen, we have a very, very special guest. We have actor, director, producer, writer, and now author, Mr. Spencer Collins.
Oh. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can you guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Oh, perfect.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys loud and clear.
Yes. Nice. Right. This is reminding me of like those guys that stand out there at the airport and they direct the planes. Can you hear me?
Right.
I don't know why. Okay. Okay, let's get down to the brass tacks, folks.
Let's do it.
All right. Mr. Spencer wait. Did we call you Sir Spencer Collins?
No, you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. So Sir Collins, that is my acting name. That's actually my nickname. And so when I found that I was losing myself here in LA, like it happens to a lot of people, I wanted to be grounded. And so I went back to my nickname because it always reminds me who I am, who I belong to, and what I stand for. And so Sir Collins is my acting name.
How did you come up with Sir Collins? Because I know, like, I think about like in the UK, even the actors like what's the guy that played Gandalf?
Sir Ian McKellen.
Sir, yes.
Yeah. And then Sir Anthony Hopkins. Is that how you came up with it, or was it another?
No, so
something else.
My mom is a huge fan of Sidney Poitier, and there was a movie that he did, To Sir with Love, and that's like one of my mom's favorite movies. So when she had me, my dad's name is Spencer Michael Collins, just like mine. But they, you know, he goes by his first name, his middle name, which is Mike. So they used to call him Big Mike, and they used to call my uncle Little Mike. So they kept saying they were going to start calling me Little Big Mike. And my mom was like, oh, hell no, you're going to call him Sir. He ain't going to be, we ain't doing all that. And so what she did is she took this To Sir with Love, but she uses the C-E-R, which is the last three names, the last three letters of Spencer.
Nice. Love nice. It. Okay. That's awesome. Okay. Well, Sir Collins, how are you doing in these days and times? What's going on with you? Are you finding work, or are you just kind of finding that, you know, this pandemic is really cutting back on your workload, or how's it going?
First, I'm gonna need y'all to cover your ears because I'm gonna need to scream just for a minute. Ah! Okay, because
let it all out.
It's a frustrating time for all of us, and I know that everybody isn't as fortunate as I've been to not only find work but to create work. Like I'm currently working on a project with Yolanda Briggs and Janine Fisher, which I'm sure you both know, casting director extraordinaire. And we are doing a project, and even the project has been affected by COVID. We had a COVID scare, so we had to shut down, and And then we lost a lot of people. We had to replace people. We had to get new locations. It has been a blessing and a nightmare, because a lot of people don't have this to complain about because they can't find any work at all. So I am blessed in the sense that I get to do what I love. But doing what I love now in these times is super complicated. It's super complicated.
You know, I have to say, I'm really impressed with how you took this whole pandemic thing, and you kind of you used it as you turned it around and made like lemonade out of lemons, because you're because of the COVID letters. This is can you tell me about your novel, COVID Letters?
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. So the COVID letters. First, let me say this year has been hellacious. Okay.
Yes.
Agreed.
It just started off like it was so crazy, because this year I said, you know what, I'm going to make a transition into television and film. That was my New Year's resolution. And I started off with a bang. Like, I got picked up by one of my friends, Anthony Bond, who is known for his works that he does in the LGBTQ community, changing the dynamic and the narrative of who we are through his works. So I got picked up by him. So immediately, my first job in January was working for Amazon Prime. I found myself being a director at Amazon Prime, and I was super excited. Then Carl Gilliard and his wife, LaTanya Gilliard, called me in to work on his project, which is 2 Degrees. I'm giving everybody a shout out right now, right?
Go right ahead. Listen to the podcast.
Yes.
I hope they do.
Show the love.
So they called me on to work for their project. And so I'm like, oh my God, everything that I asked for was happening. And then Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down. And mm-hmm. I swear to you, like after that happened, all hell broke loose. Because right at that time, we started finding out about the pandemic. And then I couldn't work anymore because I have a compromised immune system. So my doctor, as soon as he heard, he's like, okay, you're on quarantine. Like, you need to stay away from people. And I'm like, okay, I definitely do. I do that anyways when I get sick because I'm courteous enough not to want to make people sick. I don't know why people don't do that. So
I know.
It drives me insane. Yes. Like, why are you coming to work sneezing all over the place? Cover your damn mouth, please.
Say that twice, please.
Cover your damn mouth. Cover your damn mouth. I was on quarantine, and then we got the mandate that we were on quarantine in March. I had already been on quarantine for 30 days before that. So now that extended my time. Now I'm going stir crazy because I'm a workaholic and I'm used to working, and I do not like being in the house because, yes, you can work in the house, but it's not the same as working outside the house. And so I started finding myself falling into a depression. And so I was going into this downward spiral, and every time I tried to grasp for something, I couldn't keep my hands on it until I talked to Dr. Gloria Morrow. I'm sure you guys know her too. Here's another. I talked to Dr. Gloria Morrow, and I talked to my friend, Dr. Margain Anthony, or Anthony Margain. And they both pretty much told me the same thing. Like, you know, right now, you have to do stuff to pull yourself out of this because none of us can help you because we're all going through the same thing. And so you have to find the strength to be strong enough to pull yourself out of it. And how you do that is to jump back into some projects. She said, what do you like to do? I told her I like to write. She said, good, start writing. And through that writing, I started journaling like what I was going through during the time. And then I went to sleep and I had a dream that I was on the Ellen Show and I was talking about my book, The COVID Letters, which I hadn't even started yet, by the way. And in the dream, Ellen gave me this check. And as she's giving me the check, I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, the COVID letters. So now I'm like trying to figure out, what the hell is the COVID letters? And how do I get this check? I start thinking about it and I'm like, the COVID letters. And so I start looking through my journal and looking at some of the stuff that I wrote. And because I had lost so many family members and friends and loved ones to COVID, I started writing letters and I was like, oh, okay. The COVID letters. Okay, that makes sense. So I'm like, okay, so the book will be based on people writing letters to their loved ones that they didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye to because they lost them during COVID. Simple enough, right?
Yeah.
Only when I started reaching out to people to be a part of it, people did not want their family and their friends associated with COVID. And so...
That's kind of weird because everybody is touching everybody.
Right. Let's talk about that for a minute. It is weird. even recently, I lost a friend, and I'm not going to say his name because I've already got chewed out by his family and some of his friends. I lost a friend, and it was rumored that he passed away with COVID. And so I wrote that on my Facebook page, like, I lost another friend to COVID. And the calls started, and the texts and the DMs, and I was like, okay, y'all, really? So I had to take it down. But, when I tell people the story, they're like, well, why? Like, if he did pass of COVID, why would people be ashamed of that? And I'm like, I don't know. But the reality is a lot of people don't want their family or their friends or loved ones associated to COVID. Even though that's our reality, people don't want it. And, you know, it's hard for me because I'm somebody who I live my life out loud. You know, everybody knows that I have a compromised immune system. You know, I talk about the fact that I'm HIV positive. I talk about the fact that I have a heart condition. And had I contracted COVID, I would have talked about that too. Thank God that I did not. But I'm a little more outspoken just because I know sharing the fact that I'm HIV positive and do the things that I do, that's uplifting to somebody, because I don't let it defeat me. As a matter of fact, it challenges me to be more and to do more.
I have to say, I really appreciate people that have the courage to be open about their situation, because there's so many people out there that are battling different things, whether it be COVID or HIV or, you know, even down to depression.
Right.
And if you don't come forward and say something, if you don't talk about it, because communication is such a powerful thing, you don't know how much that helps other people. And so I commend you for doing that.
And the same too, sir. I really do. And it brings me to my new question that I have. Why do you feel it's important to be open and honest?
There's so many reasons. So when I first came here to LA, I was dealing with a sexual identity crisis. I was attracted to both men and females, and I didn't know what to do with that. And so there were a few young ladies that I dated in the circle even though I was honest with them about, you know, my duality, my sexual duality, they went back and made it seem like it wasn't a conversation that we had. Now, I will say, with a couple of the ladies, I didn't share that information up front because I didn't feel like the relationship was going anywhere, so there was no need to. But I remember the turmoil that it caused in my life. It's one of those things that you don't get a do-over with. Like, if you don't tell the truth up front and someone else finds out, then it becomes a weapon that anybody can use against you, and they will. And so I promised that when I did come to terms with my sexuality, that I was going to live my life out loud, no matter how painful or how challenging it was. And it was very painful and it was very challenging. I lost a lot of friends in the community. A lot of people, you know, said some really bad things about me. People DM some nasty things, but I was free. It was no longer something that somebody could hold over my head, you know, because I was okay with it. And once I became okay with it, I didn't care what anybody else thought. And there's something about living your life in truth that frees you in a way that you could be more creative, that doors begin to open that you never even knew were there. Opportunities come to you. And so it was, you know, it's so important. And because there's so many people and young people especially who live their life in fear of coming out and sharing who they really are, which is why, you know, the DL phenomenon was around for so long, because, you know, brothers were afraid to say, you know what, I think I'm attracted to men because of the way that people treated them and the stigma that was attached to it. And so if I can be a beacon of hope, or if I can be a role model in any way by showing people that you can still, you can do this and still have a great life, then I'll be that person.
Awesome.
I was going to, my next question was going to be, how has that affected your life of just being open and truthful about it? But you, I think you just answered that, so never mind.
I can go on and on and on about that, but I'll just say, you know, and I know this is not for everybody, because it's really hard living your life out loud. Because even now people are like, oh, well, you know, it's 2020 and people don't think like that. Yes, they do. I can't tell you the amount of times I've been called a faggot. I can't tell you the amount of times I've been called a sissy or a punk or a bitch. And I'm like, oh, I hope I can say that. It's kind of late.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. You're totally fine.
This is behind you, Bill.
And so it's still out there, and there's still people that judge me to this day. I was just having a conversation with one of my friends, and I won't call his name out, but you know, he told me, and he says this to me all the time, that no matter what, I'm always going to be there for you. And he's one of the people who has stuck by my side and defended me, you know, this all the way through this whole process, you know. Because he said he knew when he first met me, but he knew that I didn't know. And so instead of him trying to force that on me, like a lot of other people did, he waited for me to come to terms with it. And when I did, he was there to say, you know what? I got you and it's okay. I love you still. And he's a straight brother. So when, you know, when people say that straight brothers and gay brothers can't get along, I'm like, no, that's not true. And don't feed that, don't perpetuate that stereotype, because some of my best friends are my straight friends.
No. So, okay. So let me ask you this. Now, you said when you were going through this, when you were struggling with it, and yes. This is kind of for those of us that are not exactly hip to like the whole LGBTQ and all the other letters. I'm sorry if I missed any.
But girl, no. It's the alphabet soup. I don't even know it all the way.
They keep adding on the letter every, I can't keep up. But I was gonna, what was I gonna ask? What was that moment? What was the moment for you where you decided, you know what, this is me, this is who I am? And when you finally came to term with it, can you describe that moment to us?
Oh my God. I just had the feeling right now. It felt like, Aaron, you ever bench press too much and it falls on your chest and you struggling to pick it up?
That has happened before.
You know what that feels like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it feels like when somebody comes over and just lifts that off of you? The sigh of relief, like, oh my God, I can live now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. I felt like I had been crushed my whole life under a blanket of secrets, you know, and somebody just lifted it off of me. And that somebody happened to be me.
Mm.
What advice do you have for somebody that's still out there struggling?
Love yourself enough to live your life out loud with no apology.
Okay.
Mm. And I'll say that again, because that's a lot. Love yourself enough to live your life out loud with no apologies. Because the moment I embraced Spencer and Sir in all their totality, everything in my life changed. And it started, I met somebody online, And in my head, he and I was just going to hook up and that would be it. But he told me right up front, like, I'm not that type of brother. And so if you and I are going to hang out, then we're going to have to date first. And it was through that process that I learned so much about myself. And that I learned more about this community that I really didn't know a lot about. I really did not know a lot about the LGBTQIAP community.
Can I just say hats off to the people that don't just, and no offense, Sir Collins, to you, because I know you're looking for a hookup at the time that you met this guy, but hats off to people who actually take the time to get to know one another, because you might be missing out on something if you don't.
Yeah, well, you know what I discovered? the reason that I didn't want more than the hookup is because if you have more than the hookup, then you have to deal with the reality of what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a hookup, I could hook up with you, go wash it off, and then I was done. And that's what I used to do. I would hook up with these guys, and then I would be so grossed out with myself and what I just did that I would try to scrub my skin off. That is so unhealthy. That's an unhealthy place to be. But because of my upbringing, I grew up in the church, and my family's from the South. And so I was taught that this was an abomination. And because I had experienced that several times, whenever somebody even thought that I might be gay or attracted to a man, that I just felt so disgusting every time I was with somebody. And it was through, and I'll say his name, it was through Janarfi Clark, who was a stylist here in LA, that I learned to love myself and my community in a different way. So much so that he and I had even gotten engaged. Now, we didn't get married because it didn't work out. However, if there's one thing that that relationship gave me, it gave me self.
Nice.
And a good hairstylist. I'm just saying.
he was actually a clothing stylist, but It gave me that too, though. I got some
that's very important to really live your life out loud, like you're saying. And life, it's all about self-discovery, because you don't know yourself sometimes. Some people don't know themselves.
No.
And to really have someone look at you and really take the time out to want to get to know you, they can tell you some stuff that you don't know, which is great. It's all about maturing oneself.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to one of the other questions too. This is so important. When I came out, like I told you, opportunities that I didn't even know were there came to me. Like even the project that I'm working on now, because of the subject matter, it's a story about a non-binary person. And because of the subject matter, as soon as the director and the creator told the casting person about it, who's Janine, she was like, oh, you have to get Spencer on this project, you know? And that's the kind of stuff that's been happening since I came out, because now people know, like, he's a part of this community and he uses his voice to uplift this community. So now people call me to speak. People call me to encourage people. You know, I've had people DM me and tell me, you know, I'm ready to take my life. What should I do? Or, you know, my family kicked me out. Like, there's so many things. Like, and I'm like, oh, wow. Mm. Oh, wow. This is who I get to be in the world now, because I had the courage to stand up and say, I'm gay. I like men. I'm a homosexual. You know, whatever it is. I'm actually bisexual, but for some reason...
Yeah, I was going to ask that. What do you identify as?
I identify as a sexual being. Like, truthfully. I just, you know, these titles and stuff, I know they're important to some people, not so much to me. I am attracted to both men and women. I will say that my pull, you know, that sexual attraction is stronger with a man than it is with a woman. And even mentally, like mentally and emotionally, I am more, I'm just more attracted to a man. There's certain things that a woman can give me that a man can't, and there's certain things that a man can give me that a woman can't.
Folks, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have Sir Collins, and we'll talk about his career in acting and other things that are going on. We'll be right back.
Hello, Behind the Real viewers. If anyone out there has bad credit and needs their credit score to go up, contact my business partner, Tricia Mann Grant, at 1-818-693-0183.
We are back with Sir Spencer Collins. So I have a few questions, and one of them is, we usually start this at the beginning of the show. I want to know exactly your upbringing. How was it like growing up, I believe, in Boston, Massachusetts? Is that where you're originally from?
I'm originally from North Carolina, but I grew up my whole life in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. I want to hear a little bit about that. And also, my next question is, what has been one of the biggest lessons you have learned in life thus far?
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, let's start with the growing up, because that part's easy. So my I'm the oldest of five. And so I kind of helped raise my siblings because my mom gave a lot of responsibility to me. And not that she wasn't there, but she wanted me to know how to take care of them. And so everything that she did, she taught me how to do it. So in the event that she wasn't there, we wouldn't go to strangers. We could do it for ourselves. And my dad was there. And, you know, my dad was there all the way up until we lost him 2 years ago. And so.
My condolences. Thank you.
And so I was always used to a full family unit. And so when I hear people say, oh, he's gay because he didn't have a male around, I'm like, that's not true, because my household was full of males. I had my dad, who was my hero. I had my uncles. I had my cousins. I played football. I played baseball. I sucked at basketball. I just sucked at it. So we won't even talk about that. kickball, you know, I played jacks. I played jump rope. I played doubles. If it was something that was active to do, I did it. I didn't care.
Dominoes?
Domino. Oh, my God. Dominoes. Come on. I break your table in half.
They call me the dominologist.
and so we, you know, my friends always refer to us as the Cosby kids because we had everything, you know. Both of my parents worked. They both were hustles. They both had side jobs. So they had their regular job, but then they had side jobs because they're like, we got five kids and we want them to have everything that we didn't. And we weren't spoiled, but we literally had everything. Like the families that go and do the trips every summer, that was us. The families that played board games and video games together, that was us. The family where the whole neighborhood would come and hang out at your house, that was us. Everybody looked at my mom and dad as the neighborhood mom and dad because that's just who they were. They were so, when I think of the Cosby show and I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, that's my mom and my dad. My mom had the same temperament as Felicia Rashad. And my dad had the same temperament as Bill Cosby. Well, on the show, though. He didn't give people pills and stuff.
Disclaimer.
just to put that out there. Sorry, Mr. Cosby. Nothing against you. You know I love you. But, yeah. And so my childhood was absolutely amazing. Like, every time I think about it, I call my mom and just tell her, thank you, because my mom, she would come home after work and she would read to us, and she would read with us, and she made sure we did our homework, and she would come outside and play kickball with us, and she helped us pick out our costumes, and like she was just always there. Like, there's not a she didn't miss a meeting, and if she did, she would send my dad, which meant, ooh, thank God, because when he comes, you know, it's cool. When mama come, if something wrong, ooh, mama was the, ooh, yeah, she, my mama didn't.
She bring out the golden belt, huh?
She will bring you right to the front of the class. Now, you did what? I don't recall. I don't really recall.
Well, let me make you remember. Right.
But my dad was such a jokester, so everything was always fun with him. And not that my mom didn't joke. My mom joked too, but she didn't joke when it came to the grades and stuff. That ain't no joking matter. You got a you got a D, you got a C. Like, what? He gonna do better next term. And she was right,
mom.
Yeah, and she was right. We did. And so yeah, I had an amazing upbringing. Like, I had an amazing upbringing.
Okay.
Nice. And
oh, the second.
What has been one of the biggest lessons you have learned in life thus far?
Yeah.
Be true to yourself. That has really been, and I know it sounds so cliche, but it's just being true to yourself. That is the biggest lesson that I learned, because literally the moment that I started being true to myself, my whole life changed. Everything that I've ever wanted to do, I'm starting to do now. And are there some things on the list still? Oh, hell yeah. But like right now, I am the executive producer on a movie, In the Gray. And our cast is Asmarie Livingston, who was one of my good friends from Empire. And Lisa Ray is playing the mom. I freaking love Lisa Ray. You know, never did I think I would be producing a movie that had those two in it. So the opportunities that have come to me just by living in my truth, you have to stay true to yourself. Just stay true to yourself and stay the course. Those were my biggest lessons.
Beautiful. Nice. Beautiful. Let's talk about, let's kind of switch the subject a little bit. We want to talk about your acting and how did you come to acting? What was your come to moment? Like, this is what I want to do. This is.
So that's funny. I always wanted to be an actor, but I thought I was too ugly. I thought I was too black. I thought I was too weird. I just never thought that I could be. You can't do that. Like, you can't do that. That's what I used to tell myself all the time. So pick something else, because you can't do that. I was my own worst enemy. It's not like anybody never told me. My mom and dad always taught me you could do anything you want. But because I had this secret looming over me for my whole life, like, I always knew that there was something different about me, and it made me feel ugly. And because I used to get teased, you know, in school, I was like, yeah, you ain't gonna be able to do none of that stuff, you know? So do something else. And so when I got older and I was in the church, Sister Marcia Brathwaite, shout out to her. She was doing church plays, and she created a character for me. His name was Deacon Applesauce. And I would lose myself in Deacon Applesauce. And this was around the time when Tyler Perry was starting to come up. And so I always loved Tyler Perry. And I know that this brother gets a hard time from everybody, but I will say this, everybody has a lane that they need to work in. And this brother has created a lane that gives back to our community. So everybody that speaks against him, shame on you. When you see the work that he has put in and the things that he has done and accomplished, what? So what? All his stuff ain't deep. It don't need to be. We already got people doing that. Let him make us laugh. Let him take us to church. Let him do what he created a lane to do. Because he created his own lane. And I know some of his stuff is a little questionable. It is. But I love that brother. And he is one of the people I will say inspired me. So I took a lot of Madea and put it in my character as Deacon Applesauce. And so I used to have so much fun that I would, like I said, I would lose myself in this character. And then somebody came and seen it and said, hey, they're doing a competition in California, and I think you guys should be in the competition. And I'm like, I can't do no competition. This is just for fun. Like, no. Well, somebody sponsored me. I came and I did the competition right in Burbank, California. And we swept our age category. We got first, second, and third place.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm good. I'm really good. Let's do this. So, I'm gonna move to LA. I'm gonna move to LA. And so
How old were you at this time?
I was older. Because I've been here for 13 years. So this happened 14 years ago.
Okay.
So I was you heard that, right?
It's okay.
Well, we can do the math. I'm 50 now, so that was what?
Oh, no shame.
Right. No shame to my game.
I'm 50. You know, especially since black don't crack.
No.
Okay, so you probably still look the same.
a little bit. So after that, I was like, okay, I can do this. And I moved here. I remember I went to my boss and I said, hey, I'm moving to LA. And she was like, no, you're not. And I said, well, here's my resignation. I put it in. And it was crazy because I had just gotten a raise on the job. You know, I was making $70,000 a year, which I know that's not a lot now. But back then, $70,000, a black man, yes. Mm-hmm. I was living it. But I knew that I was not happy where I was and that this is something I always wanted to do. So I chased it and I came here and I discovered that I was a very, very small fish in a very, 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 very large sea of actors. Back home, you know, you're like one of few. So, I thought I was the shit when I was home, but when I came here, I was like, oh, I started feeling all those feelings I was feeling before, like, you can't do this, you're no good, you can't, and then I started meeting people and working with people and getting called in for auditions, and I was like, oh, yes, I'm living the life, and so that's the moment I was like, this is what we want to do, this is it. And I don't care if I ever get to be big time. Like, I know we all have aspirations of that, but really, I'm one of those people. I'm just happy doing what I love to do. I just want it to support me, and that's it. And if it does more than that, then great. But right now, I am living in my dreams. I'm an actor. I'm a writer. I'm a director. I'm a producer. And when I came here, I learned everything, you know. I wanted to be a PA. I wanted to be grip. I wanted to do all of it because I feel like you should learn every aspect of what it is that you love so that when the opportunity comes for you to be, you know, the boss, you'll know how to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's good advice.
Now I'm the boss, you know, and every now and then I do a cameo appearance, you know. You know, I got to work with some key people. You know, we all want to work with Don B. Welch, right? And so, Don B. Welch is the man. He was the man on the East Coast, and he's the man on the West Coast. And I get to call him Uncle Don. And so I got to work with Uncle Don. And so I'm like, I'm good now. If he never hires me again, I get to say, I worked with Uncle Don. And now I want to do some more stuff. So, I want to do some more TV stuff. I want to do some more film stuff. But I'm so caught up in the writing and the producing right now that the acting, I won't say that I don't want to do it, But it's not top priority anymore. Like, I'm having so much fun playing on the other side.
Nice. Okay,
well, let's talk about that for a second. Because you're in that position now, are there any actors or directors or anyone in the industry that you'd really like to work with?
Oh my God. Loretta Devine is on the top of my list. I love Loretta Devine, and I've gotten to work with her, but I haven't gotten to work with her in this capacity. And so that, oh my God. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely her. Tyler Perry still on the list. And I know, like I said, people can talk shit all they want. Tyler Perry is somebody that I always looked up to. So he's somebody I definitely would love to work with. And I don't even care in what capacity it is. I just want to work with him, period. Like, I just want to work with him. Oprah, oh my God. Oprah, like, does, like, the best stuff ever. As far as producing and stuff, being able to sit at a producer's table with Oprah, yes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh God. It's so Lynn Whitfield. I love Lynn Whitfield.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, Lynn Whitfield.
Greenleaf.
She's such a beast. Yeah, gotta work with her. Oh God. You know, a lot of other, I would say more names, but I've worked with those people that normally would be at the top of my list. I've already worked with them. So I'm trying to dig up new names, and there's so many, like Lamar Rucker. Lamar Rucker, I love Lamar Rucker. He's somebody that I want to work with. And I'll be on this phone all night if you guys let me, because it's just too many people that.
Well, wait a minute. Tell us who you have worked with besides Don B. Welch. Who are some of the people that you have worked with? I know you mentioned Lisa Ray as well.
Lisa Ray, Tisha Campbell, Richard Gant, Kelly, what's Kelly's last name? Kelly from Destiny's Child.
Rowland.
Yeah, Kelly Rowland. Now how am I gonna forget Kelly Rowland? I'm smacking
She's
myself.
Gorgeous. She is gorgeous.
And she's so easy to be around. The cast of Blackish, Jennifer Lewis, like, and when I say I worked with these people, I got to put out a disclaimer, because I don't want people like, oh, he didn't. No, I got to put out a disclaimer. So I've worked with them in different capacities, because in addition to being a writer, a director, a producer, a ghostwriter, and I'm also a red carpet correspondent. And so a lot of people, I got to work with them on the red carpet, and I've got to be on set and work with them behind the scenes, doing stuff like that. And so just being in their presence has changed my life, you know, and being able to sit in a room and just kick it with Jennifer Lewis, like, of all people, like, as a matter of fact, I even mention her in my book, because she's one of the reasons why I was so brave enough to talk about my life, because she, like, really puts it all out there in her book, The Mother of Black Hollywood. And she says that if you are strong enough to live through it, then you should be strong enough to talk about it, because that testimony could change someone else's life. And I never forgot that. And so I draw my strength from that quote and from her, because she's, man, the way that you see her is like the way she is all the time. And so being around those people, you're like, oh my God, like, this is really who she is. Now let me name some white people. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wait, are these people you worked with, or people you want to work with?
No, I've worked with Jennifer Love Hewitt. I've worked with, I've worked with, I'm trying to think of her name. I've worked with Angela Bassett before. She black, though, I'm just saying, but I worked with Angela Bassett. I'm trying to think, it's the black, why can't I think right now? I'm having a brain freeze. The blonde that was married to Tom Cruise,
Katie Holmes?
Nicole Kidman was... Tom Cruise.
Nicole Kidman, and that was incredible. She is like one of the nicest people on the planet. It's a lot of people. I'm sorry. I'm getting super excited just thinking about everybody. So sorry.
No,
that's okay. That's
perfectly
fine.
It's been a lot of people. Shanice Wilson, who I love to death. Jack A. Harry, Lettucey.
You work with Lettucey?
Well, yeah. When I worked with Dawn, I got to work with her, you know, as a stagehand, and I got to work with her as an actor on stage. So it's like, Marla Gibbs. How am I forgetting Marla Gibbs? I got to work with Marla Gibbs. Like,
wow.
Just
you're living the blessed life.
And how was it like working with Dell B. Welch? That's a person that I really want to work with one day.
Yes. Jealous. I am jealous.
Get ready to be cussed out.
Okay.
Cussed out. He does it all in love. Don is amazing. He's funny though. Cause you got to know your stuff when you with Don, cause he gets irritated real quick. So you got to know your stuff. Let me just tell y'all that. And even working with him as just a stagehand, he expects you to know your stuff. So because he works in excellence and he's used to working with people who work in excellence. And so you just got to bring your A game when you work with him. That's all. But it was an experience I will never forget. Let me say that. And thank God, because he ain't called me back since. So I better remember. Let me hold on to that thought.
And what are some things that acting has taught you over the years, and what were some of the challenges and faces you have faced in the industry?
I would say my sexuality was definitely something that was in the way at one point. But then you get out there and you prove yourself. And once you prove yourself, people kind of look past the sexuality sometimes, not all the times. But that was definitely a challenge. The other challenge, the biggest challenge was me. I was my biggest challenge because I did not believe in myself. And I did not believe in what it is that I love to do so much that I could really do it. And so, you know, it all goes back to just living in your truth. Once I lived in my truth, I stopped caring about what people thought. And so that was another hurdle that I crossed. And then the other one is just, so I'm 50 years old, and a lot of times I get sent out to jobs to play a 50-year-old, and they're looking at me like, yeah, right.
You still look like you're 30.
Black don't hurt. Right.
And then there'll be other times where they'll send me out for ridiculous. I'm like, okay, now I know I don't look 50, but I don't look 25. And so now I'm in a room with 25-year-olds, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not going to work. It's like that age range. It's like, you know, like when you're growing up and you're growing through adolescence and then you hit puberty and then all of a sudden your clothes, everything is just wrong. Like you, because you're in between. And so that's how I feel like most of the time. Like I'm like in between. So people are like, how the hell do we cast this dude? And then they're like, okay, well, take off your shirt. And then they're like, oh, no, he is 50. Put it back on. He's 50. Pull out something else for him. So I'm just in that weird place where I just gotta. Well, I'm trying to figure it out. So that was a challenge too. But that's it. You know, just trying to find that place where you fit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And do you think theater and live events eventually, sometime in the future, will come back?
I hope so. Oh my God, I just got so sad when you said that. Oh my God.
My apologies.
I really hope so, because I really miss theater, and a lot of my actors have been hitting me up asking, like, yo, like, when are we going to do? I'm like, well, we can't do nothing now, but, you know, when it's over, I hope we could do something. I really hope that theater returns. I know when it does return, it'll never be the same. It's never going to be the same. Life as we know it, it's just not going to be the same. I went to the movies the other day, and I went to Orange County because you can't go anywhere here in LA. So I went to Orange County, and we had to sit 6 chairs apart from everybody, unless you're from the same household. And so that's what it's going to look like, you know? That's what it's going to look like. And it's scary, because a lot of these theaters aren't really big enough for that. And then the ones that are big enough, it's like, by the time you space everybody out, yeah, I hope, let me just say, I hope everything returns back and theater comes back. But when it does, it's not going to be the same. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, why do you have to ask that question? Now I'm all
pressed. I'm trying to get something uplifting, like strawberries and pineapples and the fruit bowl you're eating. Because she was eating fruit and she was making me jealous because I was getting hungry. So. I want a fruit bowl, damn it.
As soon as I get off this call, I'm getting a fruit bowl.
I was eating a fruit bowl right before we started this interview, so that's what you're
talking about. I really want a piece of fruit so bad. I want some watermelon and some pineapple. I'm with
you. Yes. Let me tell y'all, can I just tell y'all the best smoothie combination that I found out like a couple of weeks ago?
Ooh,
can I just share this with you guys?
Go ahead.
Okay. The majority of, like, the main fruit has to be blueberries.
Yes.
Pineapple for tanginess. Mm-hmm. Raspberries for just a little bit of raspberry for tart.
Ooh, and some kiwi.
Oh my goodness. And you throw some greens in there just to make sure you're getting your nutritious value. My goodness. And put cucumber in there too.
Oh my God. Cucumber is amazing. People don't know it, but it's so smooth. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm that doing combination. That
as soon as I get home,
you got to let me know how you like it.
I'm gonna love my partner loves blueberries and he loves strawberries, but he likes bananas. So bananas goes in our stuff. I hate bananas. Can I just say?
But you know what though? You got to be careful when you're making a smoothie, unless you like one of those Kool-Aid drinkers where you like a lot of sugar in your stuff. Because banana has a lot of sugar in it.
Well,
so
he cuts the banana up in 4, so he only uses a quarter of it. Because if you put too much banana in there, it'll be super sweet. And I like mine to be a little tart. But he also puts like celery and spinach and all that. So we need that banana. Trust me. We need that banana. Because his smoothies, they be healthy. So I'm like, no, put that in there. Put some pineapples in there. Please, put some other stuff, because I didn't see nothing but green going there. I don't want a green smoothie. I don't want one.
Wait, I gotta ask, what you know what? I tried to offer somebody a smoothie that looked it was green in color, and they refused it. They said, I will never try it.
Nobody wants a green smoothie, and because you know what we're thinking of? We're thinking about grass, and we think about all healthy shit. We don't want that. We do not want it.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry, we got on the subject of smoothies. I'm sorry, that's my fault. I'll say this really, really quick. The best way to disguise the color is to put like something like, if you do put blueberries or raspberries or one of those fruits in there, it will change the color of it. But just make sure you don't put that combination that turns it brown, because then they really won't.
And nobody wants, okay. Nobody wants a brown smoothie because I'm just thinking of all the wrong stuff that's in that brown smoothie. Like, why she got, what is in there? I don't want that. Like, no, no brown smoothies.
That makes me think of like that scene in The Help where Octavia Spencer's character served that pie to
that was that shit in that pie.
And she said, "Eat my
Yeah, I would have been doing that kind of stuff all the time if I lived back in that day. Don't put me in the house because y'all gonna be drinking pee and spit pie, shit pie. Nothing to get on my knees today.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got us off the subject of the important stuff.
My bad.
We like to have fun. It's all good. It's all good. But sir, you are also the producer of the TV show. I believe it was a TV show or a movie called Paz Roz.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the producers on there. So Carlton Jordan, he is the writer and the creator. And he actually just called me in to be one of the advisors on the project because it was dealing with HIV and AIDS. And again, this is where I'm saying, when you come out and people know and associate you with stuff, then they call you in for all kind of stuff. So he called me in to be an advisor. And once I saw what it was about, I was like, oh my God, I want to be a producer on this project because it's incredible. And it's a story that hadn't been told yet. Like, we always follow these males that are dealing with HIV and AIDS. But the truth is that our sisters are more impacted and disproportionately affected by HIV. And so it was so refreshing to have a woman tell the story, but also in a way that was comedic, because it's already a heavy subject. As soon as you say HIV and AIDS, everybody taps out anyway. Like, oh my God, like we tap out because we hear it so much, but you never heard it like this. And the young lady that plays, oh my God, she's incredible. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it, but I'm gonna check it out.
You gotta check it out. Like, she is incredible. The whole cast, Malachi. The actors and the actresses that are on the project are amazing, and I'm excited that I got to be a part of it. I'm excited that I'm gonna be a part of season two. Because we're doing season two, and I'm super excited about where the story is gonna go, because it's not the typical story, and it's not the way that she even caught it isn't. I can't give away too much. I don't want to say too much, but it is. It's definitely. It's amazing. I can tell you that you will be entertained from episode one all the way through episode 10. Like, it never stops. It's a constant party. It always keeps you guessing. And at the same time, it's educating people, which is the thing that I love the most. I love edutainment. Because
I love it. Edutainment.
We don't want to just be educated. Like, please entertain us in between so we don't go to sleep.
Okay, so thank you.
When you pair the two of them up, it's a winning combination. Because once you have our attention, we do pay attention. Make us laugh and then throw some statistics in there. We might yawn a little bit, but we're going to stay woke. It's just amazing. It's amazing. You got to watch it.
So wait, where can our listeners go to watch the show?
It's actually on YouTube, so they can go to YouTube and they can put in Paz Roz and the whole season will come up. You can watch all 10 episodes. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so we can get some subscribers.
Like and subscribe, folks.
Yeah, I mean, we got some folks looking at it that are ready to, people say take it to the next level, but this all they're going to be doing is sponsoring this. Like, there's no other level for it to go to. Like, Carlton is so meticulous about what he does. And so it visually, it's just stimulating to watch visually. Like, because the graphics are amazing, the acting, the composition, like, everything about it. I just love the show. So, watch it. YouTube. Poz Roz. Uh-huh. P-O-Z-R-O-Z. P-O-Z-R-O-Z.
Okay. Perfect. Thank
Definitely.
You.
Definitely. And I'm going to check it out tonight.
Me too.
And a few weeks ago, I had your good friend Jessica Sade on
Jessica!
And I was just curious, how did you guys meet for the first time? How were you guys introduced?
She was this annoying little girl that came to audition for me. And it's so fun. Well, I met her through Precious. You know Precious Walker. So Precious brought her to the audition. And I was like, okay, well, we'll figure out something to do with her. And she was good. So I was like, she's cute. So she came on and she was just going to really just be an extra. But I liked her so much and I loved her energy. I gave her lines and then she just became this character that pushed the play forward. The play is King God's Love. And then we did King God's Love 2. And it is about a young man who's dealing with his sexuality in a Christian-based home. And it has some very, very, very funny parts. There's some very serious parts, some dramatic parts. It takes you on a roller coaster ride. But she came and auditioned for that. And afterwards, I just could not get rid of her. I'm like, oh, my God. Why is she here? And she just wiggled her way into my life. And now she's my little sister. Like, I love her. And she is partly responsible for the COVID letters, because when I was ready to give up and say, you know what, this is too much, I don't want to do this, she just kept pushing me and kept pushing me and was like, no, you're going to finish it. And so, yeah, that's my girl right there. Yeah, that's baby sis right there.
Nice. And where do you see yourself in 5 years? I know it's so far ahead, but what is something that you want to do that you still haven't completed just yet?
A feature film. And I've done feature films, but I've never done my own feature film. I'm always on somebody else's project, you know, as a producer or an executive producer or a co-director. I want to do my own. So in 5 years, I will definitely have had my own movies, because I more than one. I should be on my third book. And really, oh God, the sky's the limit. Like, but those are the things that I really want to do. Like, I really want to be on my third book, which I know I will be in 5 years, because I've already started the second one. And the movie thing, it's a given. It's definitely going to happen.
Well, make sure you send us a casting notice, because we're both actors.
Oh, you know I got y'all. You know I got y'all. Stop playing.
You want to audition?
Stop playing. Oh, you know what's great? I'm familiar with both of y'all work, so y'all ain't got to audition. I just got to write you a part.
Okay.
I just got to write you a part. That's all.
You know we're recording this, right?
Jessica will tell you, like, once you're on my radar, I just write you in. Like, oh, okay, well, here they go, right here. And I know your personalities, too. So, you know, sometimes I make people say stuff, and Jessica was looking at me like, you want me to say what? I'm like, trust me, just say it. You'll be fine. And now, like, her lines are some of people's favorite lines in the whole production. And I'm like, I told you, didn't I tell you I got you? But it's her delivery. Like, Jessica's hilarious. She really is.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Thank you so much. We appreciate that. That's the support. That's why we're here, to support one another, right?
Right.
It's all about
mm-hmm. Gratitude.
Gratitude. Right. Gratitude.
You know, I feel all warm and cuddly inside.
Yeah, I wish we all thought like that and we all did this, but the sad truth of the matter is we don't. And unfortunately, we've been taught that there's only one slice of the pie for us. So when that piece is put out, we fight over it. When there's like 10 other slices of the pie to get, it's like, and people have to remember that whatever God has for you is for you. And if they remembered that, I think it would make them work in a different way. Yeah, if I introduce you to somebody in my roster and that person takes to you and does a show for you, then guess what? That show was supposed to be yours. It was never supposed to be mine. So I don't see how people think introducing you to somebody in their circle is going to take away from what they have. Nigga, you ain't got nothing now. So or if you do have something, guess what? That's for you. And then when you bring me in, whatever's for me is going to be for me, or whatever, you know, it's for her is going to be for her. I don't know why we can't think like that. I can say one of the things that I love most about what I've done since I've been here in California is I help actors go to the next level. When I watch stuff and I look at stuff, I'm like, oh my God, he worked with me or she worked with me. And, you know, this person didn't have headshots. I helped them get headshots. You know, this person didn't have a reel. I helped them get a reel. Like, I'm always helping people. And I know that, you know, in this industry, people will say a lot of things about you. And I've heard some of the stuff that's been said about me. Some of it is true. Most of it isn't. But the one thing people can't say is that if they ask me for help, I didn't take the time out to help them. I've always taken the time. If you DM me and you ask me a question, I answer it. If you, you know, you say you want to come and watch me work, I let you come watch me work. If you need help, you know, meeting people, I'll introduce you to people. That is one thing I will always do. And it's because that's the way I was taught to do things, you know, being from the South. Like that proverb, each one teach one, that's what we're supposed to do for each other. And yes. I thank God that when I first came here, one of the people that took me under her wing was Brandy Burks. You know, Brandy, she shared some stuff with me. And, you know, we're not as close as we were because when she shared some stuff with me, I, you know, made a mistake and shared it with someone else without asking her permission. And it turned into a whole thing. And she had every right to be mad. And I had to own what I did. But I did it because I just thought that we were all one big, happy community and that we could share stuff. But you can't share people's stuff, Spencer, if you didn't ask them to share. So that was a lesson. But I thank her for everything that she imparted on me, because she really taught me like to take care of my business and to make sure that I handle, you know, all my your bills and all that. Like everything should be taken care of. And then, you know, the same thing with Don B. Welch. You know, he was like, hey, you got to do business the right way. You know, there's a wrong way and there's a right way. And unfortunately, a lot of us do it the wrong way. But I had people in my corner to show me the right way to do it. So I'm thankful. And I try to pay that forward.
Good to have those kind of people in your corner. Definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And one thing that my first acting coach had taught me, he said, Aaron, in this business, you have to be professional, be prepared. Always on time.
Byron Nor. Through.
No, not Byron Nor. His name was Mark Swinton. He's actually the ghostwriter.
Oh, wow, yo. That was one of your... Oh, man, that's so dope.
I hope you're sending the link of this podcast show to him.
You know I am.
All right. Well, Sir Collins, man, yes. It has been just a wonderful conversation. We enjoy talking to you so much. Oh, my gosh, you have to come back on the show.
Anytime you want me to, I will be back.
Yes, yes, definitely. We're going to give it a little bit of time because we want you to, you know, we want to see all the new stuff that you're doing, you know, come next year. So look for us to call on you, okay?
I will be willing and waiting. And I can't wait till we can actually like sit down across from each other.
Yes!
If we had
I'm looking forward to it.
Right. If we had this much fun and we ain't even near each other, you already know we're gonna cut a fool when I get there.
Yes, we are.
I'm gonna inspect my fruit bowl as soon as I get there too. That's gonna be the must.
Duly noted. I will make sure.
No green or brown smoothies though. No green or brown
smoothies. No brown smoothies. Okay. I'll make sure it's a good, nice, delicious looking cup.
Oh my God, you guys are crazy, yo.
Thank you. My last question is, what would you tell someone that was on the verge of their big break, but they were thinking about giving up?
Oh, my God. Here's the thing about that big break is that you never know when it's going to come. So if you give up, it'll never get to you. So you cannot give up. Like, this is not, this entertainment industry is not for the weak. It's really not. You got to be strong. You got to, you just got to stay the course. You got to stay the course and keep fighting through it. If this is really what you want, fight for it. Because I'm not going to lie and say it's easy. It's not easy. There's so many ups and downs. There's so many ins and outs. And there's going to be a lot more rough times than there are good times. But when those good times come, and they are coming, it makes all the bad times worth it. So hold on and keep fighting. Don't give up.
All right. Yes, I'm getting the chills.
Powerful.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I needed to hear that.
Yeah, that breaks a big smile to my face.
It gets rough, let me tell y'all. Ooh.
Yes.
I got stories on top of stories on top of stories, but like Janine reminded me the other day, she's like, man, you don't stop. You never give up. And I don't, because I don't know how to do that. Mm. I just don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Persistency, that's key in everything. Yeah. Persistence.
And if I can do it with all the challenges that I have, Lord Jesus, then anybody can do it.
You are an inspiration, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Spencer, I just want to say thank you once again for being on our show. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'm looking forward to that call. Don't play with me.
We're not playing.
No. Yeah.
Make that call.
And I got to work y'all into one of these scripts.
Yes.
Definitely.
We have another project that we're working on. I'll say this really quick, and then I'll put this out there so you can remind me. We are doing Velvet Jesus. We're doing the film, and we're going to need a couple good actors. I'm just saying, so.
Okay. Well, I'm there.
All right, guys. I got to go. It was a pleasure. I would talk to you guys later. Congratulations on the show. It's going great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk later. Bye.
All right. Take care. So everyone, find a passion and pursue it. And remember, you may not be the first and you may not be the last, but you owe it to yourself to be the best version of yourself. This has been Aaron King with my co-host, Summerlin Haynes. And this has been Behind the Reel.